Welcome back to episode 2 of Scared Topless. I am your co-host, Jessica.
And I'm Daniela.
And I am Tyler.
And this week, we are kind of going to be marrying the paranormal with true crime through the case of the mystery of the Highgate Vampire. This case is really well known in England. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of it. And it's still talked about until recently because there's still people claim to see things at the cemetery. But before I get into any of that, have you guys ever heard of this case before?
No, but it kind of reminds me of, like, from last season when we covered that vampire case. But I'm pretty sure
it's so different from that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tyler, have you heard anything?
No, I have not heard of this case before.
Also, last week we didn't have Tyler's mic on, but thankfully we have a mic for him, so this week we can have him chip in and, you know, say some words.
You know, just toss my two cents in there.
Exactly. We love that. Okay, so I guess I'll just start. So this was early in the 1970s. There was basically a wave of panic that spread throughout North London in the suburb of Highgate. And there was a vampire on the loose. That was, like, what started the panic. That's what people thought. So in the early 1970s, reports of supposed supernatural activity at London's Highgate Cemetery triggered a media frenzy and public panic. And the first person to kind of jump on this case that kind of had a knowledge that covered, like, what was happening, his name was David Ferrant. And he was an occultist, and he, along with another man that was named Sean Manchester, he was a priest, and he claimed to be a vampire hunter and an exorcist. And he also came onto the case later, and both of them would appear in the press and on television during that time to talk about what was happening. And each claimed their own kind of discovery of a presence that was lurking in this graveyard.
So I have a question. Wait, is this like a vampire, like, that they thought, like, had kind of like fangs and shit? Like, I'm confused. Like, what do you mean when they say there's a vampire on the loose? Like, what do you mean by that?
This is really interesting, this case, because it was actually on TV and in the newspapers. Like, it was real. Like, this is not something that is made up. So I'm gonna get into what it is,
okay,
and then it'll become more clear, but right now I'm just gonna leave it on kind of like ominous.
Yeah, let it be ambiguous.
Yeah,
yeah, it's a presence is, I think, the word you used.
Yeah, a presence. But in the newspapers, what people were scared of and what was believed by, like, the public was that this was a vampire. That's what a lot of people thought, because it was, I'm not going to get too far ahead of myself.
okay.
So first I'm going to start with a bit of history about the cemetery. So Highgate is in North London, and there are approximately 170,000 bodies buried in the cemetery, and it was first established in 1839. And Highgate is a very beautiful cemetery. So even now, you can go on tours at the cemetery, and it has, like, the mausoleums are very Victorian looking, and it has kind of, like, romantic looking, gothic looking buildings. And yeah, so people still go there and visit. And there's also a lot of notable people that are buried in the cemetery. Most famously, Karl Marx and George Eliot. And then there was also, like, a lot of royal people that are buried there, like mayors of London and fellows of the Royal Society were buried there as well. Something else to note about it was that some horror movies during that time, like in the 1970s, horror movies were filmed, like, in the cemetery. Taste of Blood of Dracula and From Beyond the Grave were filmed at Highgate. Interesting to know. Okay, so this mystery first began in 1963, and at this time Highgate was completely neglected. It was vandalized, like the plants everything were left to overgrow. And 2 6-year-old girls from Covent were walking home one night from a friend's house in Highgate Village. And they were walking down Swain Lane, which is the lane next to Highgate Cemetery. And it's surrounded by 2 15-foot walls leading to the gates of the cemetery. And the two girls passed the Highgate Cemetery's north gate, and they both saw, like, bodies or what looked like people rising from the tombs. And they reported it, but there's nothing really to explain what they saw. Like, you could just say that it had been, like, a trick of the eye, right? Because who's going to believe that from 2 6-year-old girls? So, But then a few weeks later from the first report, a couple was walking down the same lane, and they also reported seeing a figure in the cemetery, and they described it as having a hideous face. And the woman first saw it, and then the man saw it, and they reported feeling like they were frozen where they stood. And a few more minutes, like, looking at this figure, it looked like it was 7 feet tall, and it had deep red eyes with a ghoulish face, and they were both, like, beyond terrified when they saw this.
What the fuck?
So that was the second report, and then after this, around this time, a cluster of reports started to come in to the police, also local newspapers, saying that they saw, like, floating figures around Highgate, like, behind the gates, and a man walking his dog nearby also reported seeing a ghoulish face. So the same description that the couple had seen. And then in 1967, there was a report from a girl that lived near Highgate Cemetery saying that she woke up during the night during a dream, and she had dreamt that there were cold hands grabbing her in her dream, and she saw, like, a figure melt into the walls of Highgate. So hands grabbed her, and then when she woke up, she saw this, because she lived near the cemetery, she saw a figure, like, floating near the cemetery. And the next morning, she woke up with prominent marks on her hands.
I feel like that's more like a demon than it is a vampire.
I don't know.
Now I'm confused. Because okay, why would this be in, like, the news? Usually stuff like this is, like, on occultist.com or something, or, like...
Let me get more into it. Wait.
Okay.
So,
I feel like this is, like, a witch or something. I don't know.
You're, like, really on the right track, but just wait. So, after this, more sightings followed. So, more reports were coming in. And another man walking his dog saw the same tall, dark figure sliding or, like, gliding over along the wall of Swain's Lane. And he described it as looking like black treacle.
What's black treacle?
Just kind of, like, imagine a shadow, but, like, more prominent, I guess. Like, want me to look it up?
Yeah, wait, can I look it up? I don't know how that looks like. Like, what does that even mean, black treacle?
Go to images.
Oh, this looks like cake. What is this? It's not what it means. I'm curious. Okay. Oh, wait, hold on. Wait a second. How did you use it? Oh, over the wall. So it's like a thick black.
Kind of think of, like, you know, the movie Venom when he has, like, that goo that comes. Oh. I don't know. That's how I kind of thought of it.
Like, I see it like that. It's like thick and black, and it's like,
yeah,
like syrupy, kind of like it looks like stuff that comes out of a lava cake.
I literally just imagined it like Venom, like the movie Venom.
Okay, continue.
Does that make sense to you too? Okay, so that's how he described it. And then as more reports came in to newspapers and the police, more attention was brought to the cemetery. And that's when it caught the attention of a young Wicca enthusiast who was also a part of the British Occult Society. And that's when he started looking into the case, and his name was David Ferrant. So the guy that I mentioned in the beginning. And then many of the sightings that came in were anonymous because people didn't want to get ridiculed or called crazy for believing there was like a spirit or something in the graveyard, because it doesn't sound real. Like, it's like,
yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, like, you won't believe, it's not something easy to believe when exactly. You hear it, right? You just think this is, maybe you just saw something, but it wasn't really there.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, so one of the stories that came in to the occult was traced back to a man, but he didn't want to give his name, and he had an experience with a sort of energy firsthand. They called him Thornton, and he had talked to David and kind of recalled his account of what happened, and he said that he went to the cemetery one afternoon to investigate, and he was hypnotized by something, and he said he started to become confused as he started to leave the cemetery. Like, he was just like in a kind of a daze, like he didn't know what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
He also said that he wasn't a superstitious person, or he didn't believe in ghosts, and he was looking to the gate to leave, and suddenly he felt something behind him, and when he turned around to see 6 feet away from him, there was a tall dark figure hovering and kind of like swinging around in a circle.
Oh, ew.
Yeah. Like, imagine.
So wait, he's standing and someone's just like hovering around him?
No. So he's standing, and then 6 feet away from him, he turns around and he sees this tall dark figure like
just
swinging around in a circle.
That's terrifying.
Yeah.
Ew.
Just imagine seeing that. I would lose it.
Wait, did he say this happened at night?
Yeah, he went one night to investigate.
Oh wait, no. This is one afternoon.
He went to investigate?
He went to investigate, and he said...
So he's asking to see it.
Yeah, but he said he wasn't a superstitious person.
Oh.
Like, he didn't believe in ghosts, so I guess he wanted to go there and see what all the hype was about. Because this had been around the time when, like, now it was in newspapers, and it was becoming a bit more... like, of a story.
Talked about.
Yeah. So he went to investigate, and he actually saw this. This is what he saw.
I never seen anything like that before in my life, to be honest.
Yeah. And he described it as feeling paralyzed in his spot, and he wasn't able to do anything but, like, stare at this figure.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, apparition, if you want to call it that.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So, while looking at this thing, he described feeling like pure evil or something dark, and he didn't feel safe, and he felt like this figure had intention to hurt him. And
ew.
When he told David this story, David said that he seemed to be a very credible source, and he believed him when he heard the story. And he said that the story made him feel like it wasn't a ghost, but it had sort of like maybe like an entity, something more powerful than a spirit or a ghost. That's what David said.
So like a demon.
Essentially. An entity. This is what he said. An entity.
To me, that sounds like a demon, to be honest. That's what it sounds like to me.
And keep in mind, David, he's Wiccan, and he's a part of the occult society.
Oh, so okay.
They're witches, okay?
That's
what that means to anybody. Like,
Okay,
so they practice witchcraft. So the British Occult Society decided that they would go to the cemetery every night to investigate and set up cameras and recorders to see if they could find any evidence of some sort of whatever, ghost, entity, spirit at the graveyard. But... they weren't trying to make any contact, so do a seance. They weren't doing a seance. At this point, they were just investigating. They wanted to know what they were dealing with.
So how do you investigate but without dealing without a seance? I guess so. Because then it's like you're using a spirit box. You're like...
No, not even. They weren't trying to make contact.
So you just go walking around then?
Yeah, they weren't trying to make contact. They wanted to... They set up cameras. They wanted to see if they could... find anything. And they also looked into the history of the cemetery, and they found that people had been reporting the same thing back in the Victorian era. So this wasn't the first time people were saying that there was something in the cemetery.
What's the Victorian era? Is that like...
1300s?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right? I think so.
I don't know.
And back in the Victorian era, many of them had... when they would report something being at the cemetery, many of them had vampiristic connotations. And a lot of people back in the Victorian era believed in vampires.
Yeah.
So, okay, and then on a side note, I just want to bring up, it's kind of interesting that since we're kind of on the topic of vampires, Dracula by Bram Stoker had made a direct reference to the Highgate Cemetery in his book. Because they believe that he was influenced by a case back in 1865 of a woman who was buried, and a relative wanted to dig up the grave because there was like poems buried with her that they desperately needed. And when they dug up the grave, her hair was like golden red, and like it had continued to grow. So that's where kind of like this vampire element came from. And there was also a lot of the time dead animals had been found like at the cemetery.
I've heard this thing on YouTube where like a lot of people were digging up graves back then and thinking that there's vampires.
Yeah, and they would like stake them
because they said that their hair grew longer and like your fingernails grew longer and they looked bloated, but like that was just like the after effects of death.
Yeah.
And they just weren't educated at the time. So a lot of times people are like, oh, that's a vampire.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, because I remember I watched a YouTube video like a couple weeks ago.
But yeah, in Highgate was also used as a burial ground for victims of the plague. So a lot of people apparently were like buried alive or in a kind of like near death stage.
Oh, like... they think that they're dead, but they're in a coma and they bury them. And then people, like, they would die actually when they're buried.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fucked.
Yeah, it is kind of messed up. So, okay, that was a side note. But back to, it was February 1970 now. So, David had written to the local newspaper to publish an article. And this was in the Hampstead and Highgate Express, to see if anyone had reports of seeing something. So again, like they're just trying to get more information, and people reported seeing different strange descriptions, but a lot of the people also saw similar apparitions of a man with a top hat staring through the gate bars and kind of like looming around the cemetery. And then shortly after this article was published, this is when Sean Manchester came into the picture, and he elaborated on the story. They published another article like titled, "Does a Vampire Walk Highgate?" And then this is when like it started to be more like, okay, is this a vampire? And then people looked more into it, like as being a vampire, not really an entity. And he was a bishop interested in vampires, and he performed exorcisms, like I said.
Interesting.
So then upon going around and investigating the cemetery, they found a lot of evidence of satanic rituals being performed, and a lot of them seemed like they had been done by professionals from like markings that they had been that were found there, and the occult knows how to look for like these marks of satanic rituals, so they know it wasn't done by teens just like messing around.
Yeah.
And one tomb hidden in the heart of the cemetery looked like it had been converted into a small temple, and the inverted pentagram and magical symbols were on the floor and the walls. And then they looked into this, and it was related to an ancient deity, or like a group called the Old Kings of Hell. What so the fuck? Yeah. And like this was basically a summoning. And a summoning like this could only be performed by, like, people who are, like, practiced Satanists. Like, no amateur could summon a deity like this.
So it takes an experienced person then.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so apparently this deity was called upon to complete a mission on Earth.
The fuck? Is it Jesus, bro?
So, like, so once this deity is, like, called into Earth, they can't.
Are they calling Jesus? Like, I don't understand.
Just keep in mind, this is satanic. So if they're calling something, it's more demon-like. Or, like, these deities aren't. They aren't on the good side, okay? They're on, like, the evil side.
Okay, man.
Okay? This is, like, Lucifer type shit. This is no Jesus.
All right, bro.
So, and so, the deity that they're calling upon, it cannot move on until it completes the mission. So, it's bound to Earth until it completes this mission. And to them, it looked like the satanic group might have been successful in summoning something. Which was now what is being seen in the cemetery by all these people.
Mm-hmm.
So after this, David decided to do nightly watches. On two watches, they saw, like, this figure that the guy Thornton had spotted. And they saw it swinging around at the top of the gate. But it only appeared for a few seconds. And when they examined the pictures from the cameras they had set up, they weren't actually able to capture the figure in a picture. They don't actually know if it's really possible to capture something like that in a picture. But in the pictures they examined, there was a lot of dead foxes with deep slits in their throats. Their blood had been drained. This also might have been used as, like, a ritual sacrifice.
Oh, that's 100% used as a sacrifice. 100% that was used.
And, like, blood drained, deep slit in the throat. So yep. That's... Yeah, so... The Hampstead and Highgate Express, the newspaper I mentioned, the local newspaper, continued to follow this vampire story now, was what it was, like, being called. Reports soon started to reach, like, national and international media, both ITV and BBC programs. So ITV is, like, a network in the UK, and they had stories of, like, this Highgate vampire. And it appeared in the news. And then on March 6th of 1970, a news story came out titled, "Why Do the Foxes Die?" Which basically questioned if there was a vampire killing foxes. And David Ferrant, he didn't completely disrule this story, but it was believed it could have been the satanic group or the figure maybe preying on weaker beings. But he didn't completely disrule the story. The British Occult Society, afterwards, they got letters from this, like, supposed, like, Satanist group performing the rituals. Well, probably. They didn't know if it was from the Satanists, but this is what they thought. And they got a letter saying that if the society didn't stop their investigation, that there would be consequences, meaning, like, death by the means of dark magic.
What the fuck?
Yeah. And so one of the letters read, "By your interference with the work of our high order, you have invoked the wrath of our Lord Haddit. By this element of the power of the sevenfold cross, you shall now be destroyed. This is by his grace, and this will be fulfilled by our order. Be it thus so." And it was signed in blood, and it was like, there was a bunch of satanic symbols on the letter.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't imagine getting a letter like that. I feel like, I don't know, I feel like my emotion, I would be so monotone in reading that and be like, what on earth just happened?
I would be shocked. I don't think I would know how to react to that. That's terrifying.
I don't even know. I think I'll, like, try to do, like, a spell or something, like a witchcraft spell to, like, protect myself.
Yeah.
That'd be, like, the first thing, like, I'll do.
Cast, like, a protection spell.
Yeah. But even then, it's, like, imagine someone hating you so much that they're, like, I will kill you with my dark magic.
Like, yeah, literally. Like, if you keep fucking around in our business, the fucking wrath of Lord whatever, Lord Haddit, is gonna come for you.
Lord Haddit had enough.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Bro, that was really good.
Stop.
Oh, that was too good, man. That was too good.
That was good. So yeah, so obviously, like, after receiving this letter, they're just like, okay, this is definitely, like, the work of Satanists.
Yeah.
Right? So, again, around this time, ITV wanted to do a special program surrounding the case, so they planned that they would go to the cemetery and film outside the gates to cover the case. And when they went, the cameraman, he had started to film, and suddenly he grasped his throat and fell to the ground.
Oh, no.
Just as he turned on the camera. So they had to postpone the covering the case until Friday the 13th.
Oh, God.
Bro, that's even
worse.
That's worse.
Yeah, so fast forward to...
Wait, was the cameraman okay? Or we just don't know that?
I think he was okay. I don't actually know if he was okay. I'm just saying that. I mean, research...
Did they go back to film?
Like, they had to reschedule.
And did they end up filming on the 13th or
they
whatever?
Ended up filming on the 13th.
Well, I guess he's good enough to go back, right?
Well, I don't know if it was the same guy. Like, in my research, I didn't find any.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. So, yeah, we about him like that.
I don't know what happened to him. RIP. Yeah, so fast forward Friday the 13th, 1970. The program featured David Ferrant, Sean Manchester, and some of, like, the witnesses that had been seeing things around the cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
And Highgate was packed with people carrying weapons like stakes, pitchforks, fire, like, lighters. Like, not a fire thrower, obviously, but, like, maybe, like, a pitchfork with, like, a lantern or something on top of it. I don't know, 1970 what they had. So, like, there's a group of people, like, carrying weapons and shit, and they're ready, basically, to frantically search this cemetery and the tombs. And so these mobs had kind of, they invaded the cemetery to find the vampire and, like, catch whatever this figure was that they thought it was a vampire. David Ferrant agreed to being interviewed because he wanted to stop the sensationalizing of this case. He avoided using the word vampire to try, like, the piece in the case. And he didn't believe that it was a vampire, David. It was more so Sean Manchester that was, like, saying that it wasn't a vampire. Yeah. He believed it was a manifestation of some sort of entity. But because the stories told by the witnesses were sensationalizing the vampire, and again, Sean Manchester feeding into the hysteria of the situation of the case, it became kind of like a vampire hunt. Mm. I'm not joking. Like, it was a massive... I'm not joking.
This is the 70s thing.
In the 70s. This is like... Taken. It's the 70s.
It's not acceptable, man. Like, if this is the 1800s, sure, but, like, bro, this is the 70s.
It's the 1970s in London.
Bro, we send people to the moon and people still think they're vampires. Like, come on. Something here's not making sense.
But this is known. Go look it up after this. But, like, it's known as one of the biggest vampire hunts. Hundreds, literally, like, like, hundreds of people showed up with pitchforks and stakes ready to, like, catch a vampire. And it was broadcasted on television.
That's so sad, though. Like, high key, that's sad.
So stupid.
Like, that's so sad.
But yeah, so anyways, this program aired, whatever. The vampire hunt happened. They didn't find anything, obviously.
What do you mean they didn't find anything?
Obviously.
Like, obvious.
So, you know, just making it clear, the occult society wanted to continue doing...
So wait, I guess case is closed then. Like, podcast episode done. Like, they didn't find anything.
Open, close.
No, it's not done yet. It's not done yet.
Let's just close our laptops and just finish the recording. Like, it's slowly.
Okay, so basically, the occult society wanted to continue doing nightly vigils to investigate, but it became harder and harder for them because of all the people that were going there at night to investigate themselves. And what the society wanted to do was they wanted to perform a ceremony with the high priestess and the circle members to figure out where to go from here, and if they wanted to, like, make contact to see if this presence needed to be freed or what they could do to kind of put an end to this moving forward with the investigation. For anyone who's not familiar, a high priestess and circle members, so they were essentially a coven. And when you're in a coven, there's a high priest and a high priestess, which kind of like lead the coven and lead the rituals that the coven performs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they were doing. And this was supposed to take place in August. However, there was a new development in the Highgate investigation, which prevented this. So basically, two 16-year-old girls passing through the cemetery found a body of a woman that was dragged from a tomb and placed on the Swain Lane path with a stake driven into her heart. The occult thought this was a warning from the Satanists, but at the same time, it's kind of unlikely because why would they want to bring more attention to the cemetery if this is where they perform their rituals, right? They wouldn't want more publicity. So this could have been the public taking things into their own hands, but we're not really sure. The body was just found. So anyways, so fast forward, it's August, and 3 days before the full moon on August 7th, the occult wanted to perform their ritual to banish any malevolent spirits in the cemetery.
Makes sense.
Yeah, so because before the full moon is a good time to perform like psychic spells. And so they went ahead, they cast a circle with salt in the area that most people had spotted the figure. But as they were doing this, they heard sirens of police. So they started to panic because they couldn't just leave the circle open, especially when they're dealing with a dark spirit. So they're trying to like flee the scene with all of their like paraphernalia, I guess you could say, like all of the whatever they brought with them to perform the ritual.
Yeah.
So they have to close the circle, take all their stuff and kind of go because mm-hmm. they don't want to be found there. And then it's like, okay, what is the society? Like, they don't want it to be traced back to the occult society.
Yeah.
Especially because there was just a dead body that was like dragged from a grave. So David was actually caught as they tried to flee. And this was bad, like I said, because they don't want it to reflect badly on the occult society. Like, maybe they were the one messing around in the cemetery and not the Satanists.
Yeah.
And he was taken to jail, which the reason why is because there was a witness that said they saw him fleeing with a stake from the cemetery. So maybe he's the one who had done it. But it wasn't a stake that he was carrying. It was an athame, which an athame is like, it's like, it could be like a kind of like a knife or like not a sword, like it's smaller, but it could look like
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So for anyone who does, it's like a pointy object. And it was like tied with a string on a piece of wood. And Wiccans or pagans use this when they cast a circle. So it wasn't a stake, it was an athame, but this is why he got taken to jail. But later there was like no evidence to support he did anything, so they let him go.
Mm-hmm.
But during this whole time, when David got taken in, they thought that maybe he was the one that was like a crazy like vampire hunter, which is the total opposite because he wasn't at all. The satanic group ended up like stopped sending them letters because they couldn't practice at the cemetery anymore anyways because of all the people going there and they didn't want to be found out.
Yeah.
And then in 1971, there was another case of a girl walking home again late at night. And she was attacked by a figure with red eyes, again, down the same, like, Swain Lane. And she felt herself being thrown up against, like, she's thrown against the ground by a figure with a pale face. And a car actually stopped to help her, and then the figure disappeared. They went to the police station, and she had, like, abrasions on her hands. And the police went to search, but they couldn't find anything. But it was odd that the figure disappeared on Swain Lane because it's surrounded by 15 feet tall walls. So if this was a person that attacked her, how would they have just like disappeared over the wall?
Mm.
That's like 15 feet tall.
Yeah.
Right? And this scared David because it seemed like now this entity was getting stronger and braver and it was actually attacking people. So they know, like, they have to perform the ceremony to banish the figure. And so they did it, and it was a success, and they managed to dismiss the entity. But they didn't manage to banish it. So it was still there, but I guess it didn't have, like, a mission to complete.
Yeah.
And then they want to see if there was a different ritual they can perform, maybe to help it pass in a different way. But they were unable to because the police ended up blocking off the cemetery because of constant vandalization. And they put Highgate into lockdown. This scared David because it seemed like the entity was getting stronger and braver because it was actually attacking people now. So the society ended up performing the ceremony to banish the figure, which they managed to dismiss the entity, but they didn't banish it. They wanted to perform a different ritual to see if they could help it pass in a different way. However, they were unable to do this because police blocked off the cemetery due to constant vandalization. They put Highgate into lockdown. And they ended up also arresting two members of the society.
Mm-hmm.
So David and Sean continued to investigate. Sean really believed that this was a vampire, whereas David thought of it more as an evil or malevolent entity. And this kind of started a feud between the two of them. And there's, like, news articles of, like, them kind of bashing each other because they're differing opinions, and they kind of would slander each other's take on the case. And through, like, blog posts or interviews, they would emphasize their own role in the case. What Sean would do was kind of say, like, dismiss David and saying that, like, he was, like, breaking into tombs and stuff. And then in 1974, David was arrested for damaging memorials and interfering with remains at the cemetery. He had insisted it wasn't him, that it was the group of Satanists. People had also accused him of sending voodoo dolls to the police, which he also said, again, like, wasn't him, but it was a Satanist. And
ew.
Also during this time in 1974, a dog walker had returned to his car down Swain's Lane, and found in the back seat was a dug-up corpse. But the doors to the car were still locked.
Oh.
So
yikes.
Both Sean and David ended up actually publishing books on this, and Sean claimed to actually be hunting the vampire for an additional 13 years after this, until he finally staked the vampire and beheaded it and burned it. So that's what he said that he did.
He said he did that?
Yeah.
Are we sure he's not, like, capping, you know?
Well, he said he could be capping. I mean, he definitely is.
Yeah, this guy's capping. No, he's come on. Man,
I mean, he definitely.
Like, yeah, bro, I killed it. That's yeah. Cool. All right.
Like, he's definitely. I don't know. Like, we'll talk about this at the end, our opinions on it.
Okay.
Because
okay,
I know that we all have an opinion.
Okay.
This guy loves to cap.
But David remained to be kind of like the main source of the case, and he 100% believed that the Highgate vampire, as it was called, like the mystery of the Highgate vampire, like it wasn't a hoax or a vampire, but it was something very real.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So now that was kind of like the end of what happened. David passed away at the age of 73.
That's kind of young.
Yeah. And Sean still practices, and he's like an exorcist, and he claims to have slain many bloodsuckers.
Bro, that guy's straight
capping. Yeah, he's straight capping. But anyways, Highgate is now like a preserved property. Like I said, it gets many visitors, but it's no longer just open to walk through. Even until now, there were claims in the 80s and 90s of seeing something in Highgate, but since then, no one really knows what happened. And even like more recent reports of people seeing something at Highgate. And that's kind of like the end of this case. So I know you guys have stuff to say. Like, I don't know. What's your opinion on this?
Okay, so I think, like, yeah, it could have been a demon, but I don't think it's a vampire. Like, for me, I can't, like, believe in vampires. To me, that's just, like, a story. And I know someone can say the same thing, like, about demons and ghosts. But I don't know. I just feel like there's more to, like, demons and ghosts in that whole dimension. And, like, you know, there's more stories and stuff like that. Like, but a vampire, like, I just, like, I need to hear from this guy to say, like, he beheaded something and he staked at its heart. Like, are you sure he doesn't have, like, maybe, I don't know, like, schizophrenia or something, and he, like, accidentally murdered someone? Like, I don't even know. Like,
oh, my God. Like, oh, my God. Wow. He's just out there killing civilians, calling in vampires.
And then he's slain somewhat.
Slain many bloodsuckers.
That's the word, slain.
He didn't murder, he slayed
them. Yeah, he slayed them.
I don't know. I feel like Sean is just, like, straight capping. Like, I feel like he's just lying for the press. Like, I just don't really, like, believe him, to be quite honest.
I feel like it's easier for people, though, to believe, like, or people want to believe more in a vampire just because of, like, how we see them in pop culture, in the media, in movies and stuff. They'll believe a vampire, but no one's gonna, like, believe, I don't know, I guess, like, an entity. Like, I don't feel like people, like, knew enough about...
No, like, I just
bro,
think...
it's the 70s.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know, because people said...
Were people in the 70s that backwards?
But there was literally a whole vampire hunt. Like,
that's
hundreds,
bro.
Hundreds of people showed up to this cemetery,
and then they
stakes.
Wasted the time because they said you literally said 2 minutes after, and they found nothing.
Yeah, like they broke into the they stormed the gates, and they were running rapid through the cemetery.
That,
like,
kind of reminds me of like that scene like in Shrek where like everyone's like chasing after Shrek, but like that's like in the 70s. Do you know what scene I'm talking about?
I think so, yeah.
Or like they're all chasing after Shrek, and like Shrek is like happy that he's an ogre again, or maybe that's like the third one, I think. But like that's what like it seems like these, like, I don't know, I feel like people were just barbaric back then, and they just like, I don't know, but for all I know,
it's kind of exciting though.
No, for okay,
it's like, definitely exciting. I'm glad these stories exist.
Here's something, yeah. Actually.
Here's the thing.
What about if it was actually a serial killer? Because back then it was 70s, right? There's a lot of serial killers, and they dug up corpses back then, and they, like, you know how serial killers used to do that, and then used to have sex with the dead bodies, and then they would take them out of the
necrophilia, yeah,
and then they would take them out, and then people were like, oh, it's a vampire. Like, no, it's actually your neighbor, like Bob, that's actually doing it. Like, it's actually like your nasty neighbor. Like,
oh my God.
Like, maybe like people would rather believe like a vampire, like, spooky story,
yeah,
than
100%.
Like the guy next door that sells, yeah, that's named Bob and sells flowers and that and his all looks happy and shit.
Yeah, I believe that. It's easier to believe in something that's superstitious or whatever,
well,
or supernatural.
Also, like I said, like the 70s was a big time for like seeing like there's like a lot of serial killers too, right?
Yeah.
And then
I don't know though, like I think what David was saying, yeah, like I kind of think it was like an entity
or a combination.
And they found like the markings from that Satanist group, so they might have summoned something.
I believe that.
That suggestion makes a lot of sense to me.
Like, I think it's a combination of, like, with all the corpses and all that shit, I think it's a combination between maybe, like, possibly someone that likes to have sex with dead bodies or something.
The serial killer thing just doesn't answer the whole people seeing things and having experiences.
Yeah. I think there was a demon.
The bad energies and stuff like that.
Well, like, if someone, I heard that, like, also, like, if someone's around bad energy, sometimes it can make you be impulsive and like do weird stuff too,
like, you know? Like, see a 7-foot figure 6 feet away from me spinning around in circles hovering over the ground. Yeah,
that's weird. I don't know. I'll cry if I saw that.
You would think that people would stop hanging out at this area at some point, like,
but they keep going.
You think like, you know what, like, that area is clearly like not good.
Like, it's all in the news of, like, bad shit happening here. Yeah,
like, yo, stop hanging out there, bro. Like, stop trying to party near, what is it called?
Swain's Lane.
Yeah, stop hanging out there, dude. Like,
people just keep going back. I wonder if, how it is, like, right now, I guess. If people are still, I know you said people are still seeing it, but
yeah.
I want to know, like, the latest report of it.
I'm so mad because I wish that when I was in London, I went to visit that cemetery. Like, if I'd known about this...
She's the one who'd see something or get attacked.
If I'd known about this case then, I would have went to the cemetery. I would have went. I would have wanted to, like, go and look.
I would go. Why not? I'd be bored enough to do it.
There's, like, there are, like, more cooler things to do in London.
No, that's, like, so cool. Like, and it's also, like, very Victorian, like, gothic looking. Like, it's a pretty cemetery. There's really nice mausoleums.
That sounds pretty.
Yeah. I don't know, Tyler, what is your take on this? Like, what do you think?
I don't have an explanation for any of it. It's just a bunch of stories, and it's just terrifying. I would love to read those books, though. Like, did both of those guys publish books, you said, right?
Both of them published books, yeah.
I would love to read both of them.
I like to read the one that just straight caps.
Yeah, we slained him. Yeah, I killed him.
Yeah, I want to hear, like, the detailed paragraph of how he killed this vampire. Yeah,
he caught a couple bodies.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this guy was just, like, high in LSD, if anything. Like,
he just wanted attention.
If it's the 70s, like, maybe he was just a hippie and he was just taking, like, a lot of drugs.
Yeah. But what you said about the schizophrenia actually makes a lot of sense. Like, maybe he was schizophrenic and, like, his reality was altered.
He could have been just a hippie.
There was something wrong with him. But I get why it was easy for people to believe the vampire. Because also, like, when I mentioned at that time, like, the vampire movies were filmed at the cemetery. So, like, there's already kind of, like, this...
There's, like, a history there.
Yeah, there's a history at the cemetery. And then, like, the movies filmed there and, like...
Yeah,
it makes sense why people would believe it, but I don't think that's what it was. As much as I wish it was that, like, I don't think it was. I think it was, like David was saying, like, an entity for sure. And it's most likely still there because there were still people reporting of, like,
oh yeah, because it's still in its fucking mission, right?
Well, who the fuck knows? I don't even fucking know, like, man.
What this demon,
like, I can't even be like, oh no, like, I don't fucking know.
Like, what's the demon's fucking... to-do list, bro? That's still
well, yeah, what's a demon to do?
Yeah, what's a demon to do? What's a demon to do?
The terrors, man. Holy shit. But anyways. anything else, like, you guys want to add?
Like, what was her goal? Like, they were, like, just, like, summoning, like, a mission. Like, I was just, like, when you said that, I was really, like, yeah, like, they're summoning Jesus or something. Like, because that's why Jesus came down to Earth for, right? Like, to, like, have a goal on Earth or some shit like that, right? Like,
maybe they were trying to bring back, like...
Jesus?
Or Lucifer. Something like that. They're a Satanist group. Like, there definitely are still Satanist groups out there that are, like, doing, performing shit.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Right? I guess this group was, like, they had a lot of very, like, practiced Satanists, and they were able to, summon something. That's what I'm thinking.
I'm just imagining Dracula Jesus. I'm just like on the cross. Like, that's so bad, but, like, that's all I'm thinking of with this, where this conversation has led me.
Oh my god.
Don't you guys think it was interesting that Bram Stoker referenced Highgate in his Dracula book?
Who?
Bram Stoker.
Who is that?
He wrote Dracula.
Oh.
He wrote Dracula. Bram Stoker's Dracula. It's like the original Dracula.
I never read it.
Me neither.
So then why do you know it?
Well, it's just an interesting fact of, like, the case.
Part of the research.
Yeah, like, I mean, I want to read it. I've heard it was kind of boring, to be honest, but...
Yeah, I haven't read it. Anyways. To be honest.
Interesting case, though. Interesting case. Did you guys enjoy it?
I think this was oh my god, I'm, like, mumbling in my words. But I think this was an interesting story. I think it made me laugh.
But it's, like, real.
Okay, vampires are not real, Jess.
No, I'm not saying vampires. I'm saying that what happened was real.
This is all documented, is what you're getting at.
Yeah, like, I'm not just telling, like, another paranormal. Because this is technically, like, this is more, I think, paranormal than it is true crime. Like,
oh, this is 100%, like, paranormal. Like,
it's
said,
documented paranormal. Like, are you going to have a paranormal case broadcasted on live television?
With a mob of, like, hundreds of people.
Yeah. In, like, the 70s. This was something real that happened, and, like, this is, like those I don't care if you believe in entities or not. Like, there is an entity that was at this cemetery, So many people reported seeing it. You're telling that me that, like, millions of people are just making this up? Not a vampire. Not a vampire. I know that. But, like, something. Whatever.
You know, people just loved, like, just doing drugs in this area.
Yeah, like,
and this they're just tripping. They're like, yo, you see that? What?
I'm pretty sure people, like, went to go trip on, like, this vampire hunt. Like, yo, dude, like, there's this vampire hunt. Let's totally, like,
Let's take ass and go hang out and find some vampires. Bro, that's a crazy idea.
Yeah. I wish something like this would happen, like, now, where we live, just because I feel like it would be so cool to, like, be a part of.
If something like this happened, that would be a Facebook event. Like... It'd be a Facebook event, like, you know, like how, like, it, like that Area 51 where, like, all those people wanted to, like, rush in.
Yeah, yeah, I remember,
like,
that.
Like, it would be like something like this, like they were all gonna, like, run, like, Naruto, like, or how do you say his fucking name? Naruto, Naruto, Naruto. Him, towards them. They're like, I feel like Naruto, it would, run. Yeah, like to Area 51, like. I feel like
everyone gets an anime GF.
Like, I feel like it would be something like that if it happened, like a Facebook event, and you have to, like, respond to, and say yes that you're going to that, or maybe
it would just become a meme so quickly.
Yeah,
I feel like internet culture would just meme it up, like, so quickly. Like, yeah, no one would take it seriously.
I would definitely say maybe I'm going.
I don't know. I still think that it's kind of interesting. That this happen.
If my plans flop, I'll go to
them. Yeah, that's the B plan.
It's the backup.
That's the motive. Yeah. That'll be my motive for the night.
But I guess that's all for this story. Yeah, this case. Yeah.
So thank you guys for listening to Scared Topless. Be sure to follow us on social media at Scared Topless for updates on our episodes, and let us know what you thought of this week's episode. You can also send us an email if you have any future cases you want us to cover or what you want to hear from us next. Until then, we are your hosts, and we'll see you next time.